Hey, welcome to episode 2 of Legal Marketing Radio from LaFleur Legal Marketing. I'm your host, Stephen Kent. Twice a month, we're bringing you the tips, strategies, resources, and the news and trends from the legal marketing industry that you need to effectively market your law firm, expand your audience, and generate more leads and casework. If you're listening to this podcast, but you're not yet familiar with LaFleur Legal Marketing, we're a full-service legal marketing agency that works with law firms across the country. We provide holistic, data-driven solutions for all of their marketing needs. To learn more about LaFleur Legal Marketing, just check out our website at LaFleur.marketing. That's LaFleur.marketing. We got a lot of content there for law firms, including a blog that we work really hard on. It's full of great articles that can help you improve your marketing campaigns and also just learn about what's going on in the digital marketing world. Okay, so let's dive in this week with Legal Marketing Radio. So this week on the podcast, we have Dave Vandewaal with us again. Dave was here last episode, but Dave will probably be a pretty regular fixture on this podcast.
Hopefully.
Somewhere between a guest and a co-host. We're working him out right now, but we're probably going to keep him. Okay, so this week what we want to talk about, it's kind of a continuation of our last topic. Last time out, we focused on, you know, how to write a better blog post, you know, kind of from the ground up. This week, we want to focus in on a particular aspect of that, which is how to write a better headline for your blog post. And then the second part of this podcast, we're going to be talking about, you know, what type of content performs best and creates the most value for you. In particular, we're going to be talking about the difference between, you know, timely content, which is, you know, covering breaking news or things that, you know, just happened, versus, you know, an evergreen type article, which is kind of a more timeless thing, you know, something that's a general interest topic that's going to age well. So let's get into it with the headlines first. You know, headlines are something that it's easy to overlook. I think for a lot of people, you know, when you're writing a blog post, you probably don't tend to start with the headline. It's something you come up with at the end. And I think at that point, you know, it's easy to have, you know, kind of a writer's fatigue. So you just toss off a headline and say, you know, it's just a label basically to stick on it. But there's really a lot of data to show that your headline is really important. For one thing, the marketing calendar company, CoSchedule, crunched some data, did a study, and came up with a statistic that 8 out of 10 people will read a headline, but only 2 out of 10 people are going to click through to the article. And they also found that your traffic to an article can vary up to 500%, you know, based on the headline that you write. And so that first statistic, too, that 8 out of 10 people read a headline, but 2 out of 10 click, you know, it makes you think, okay, well, most headlines are bad, or most people are just indifferent. But there's another statistic, too, that I found really interesting. And this one is from Columbia University and the French National Institute. And this one says that 59% of the links that are shared on social media have never been clicked. So that's more than half the articles that are floating around out there that people are sharing just based on the headline. So to me, that says that, you know, people take an interest in these headlines, and a good headline, really, and that the headline matters. I mean, and you know what? I'll be honest, too. I've done this before. I don't know if you're above this, Dave, but
I'm not above it.
Okay, we're not above it. No one here is above it, so there's no judging. But I've shared articles on social media based on, you know, I don't have time to read it, but I just want to share that headline. I want, you know, people to see that, and I just assume it's a good article based on the headline.
Right.
So we want to kind of talk about, you know, how you can write headlines that kind of create that effect and, you know, really generate traffic to your blog posts and get people to share even if they don't end up reading the article. So we'll get into some tips, you know, right away that can just, you know, kind of, if you follow these steps, you'll probably end up with better headlines. And these are also backed by data, too. Again, we turn to that marketing company, CoSchedule, and they actually, you know, did a study on what length of headline will perform best. And what they found is that basically around 60 to 100 characters is pretty much the ideal headline length, which usually equals about 10 to 14 words. You can do a little character count, but as a basic rule, probably about 10 to 14 words is the best length for a headline. There's also a compelling reason to keep your headlines around that length, which is that Google, you know, on search engine results page, it actually cuts you off after 65 characters. Now, that doesn't mean that the rest of your headline, you know, doesn't compute for search ranking purposes, but what it does mean is that the rest of your headline is not going to display. So kind of at the minimum, you need to have a headline that's going to speak to the topic, you know, in a truncated form. So in other words, if your headline kind of meanders at the beginning and it's like, you know, 15 really important reasons why you should always, and then so on, like, they're not going to get, that's all they're going to get, you know, why you always dot, dot, dot. So you need to make sure you lead with your topic and your headline and kind of front load a little bit for those search engine results purposes. And then if you do that successfully, it's okay to go over that 65 character limit a little bit, I think, in general.
Yeah, and I think, too, that people agonize over the headline. And they say, oh, I have to get the keywords in. It has to be the right length. It has to be this, this, and this. But in the very first place, you should always be thinking about your audience when you're writing a headline. And, you know, what's going to bring my audience in? What's going to entice them to click through? What's going to describe something really well to them?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, these other things will sort of follow. And while it's good to have them in mind, you know, to sort of, you know, front load your keyword, front load the things that are most important in your title, and then, you know, include a subtitle afterwards or whatever, or maybe a branding element afterwards. The most important thing that's going to give you the longest traction on a headline is thinking about your audience.
Right. And another thing you can do as well, we kind of talked about this last time in terms of writing a blog post, but again, when you're writing a headline, you know, run it by people. You know, share it with someone in your office or that's around you and ask what they think of it. And another point, you know, you mentioned that people tend to agonize over a headline. One suggestion I would make, you know, rather than agonize over one headline, just write five, you know, and you can even toss them off in a little bit what feels like a slapdash fashion. But among the five, you'll probably end up with something good. You know, when I freelance for a particular news site out in Los Angeles, I always have to submit five headlines. That's just their, you know, basic procedure for headline writing. And I think it's a great one because, you know, even if you push yourself to get to that five and you know a couple are bad, you're probably going to end up with something good in there. So I think that's a great tip to write more effective headlines. Another thing you can do to kind of punch up your headlines a little bit is use what's called a call to action headline. And this is a kind of an easy thing you can do. If you start with what you'd call more of an informational headline, like what to do after a car accident. You can change that to a headline that really, you know, spurs the listener, or the reader that is, you know, that they need to do something. So, for instance, what to do after a car accident could become, you know, do these five things after a car accident. And just that call to action, you know, you need to do these things, creates a sense of immediacy that can give your headline, you know, a little more urgency in the reader's mind, something they'll tend to, you know, feel like they have to click on now, not later. Another thing you can do, and there's a lot of data to back this up, is that, you know, list-based articles just perform amazingly well. And you would think, I mean, I know people see them just everywhere, you know. You would think there is, you know, some sort of fatigue beginning to set in, but the data really shows that there's not. Again, you know, from CoSchedule, they did a study that, you know, of like a million articles, and they found that, you know, of the best performing articles were their list articles, you know, across the board. And there's a lot of other data to back this up too, but in general, you know, the torrent of lists does not seem to be letting up. And so, you know, that's an important takeaway for, you know, if you're creating blog content that seems to have, you know, a discrete set of ideas, you know, if you look through and you're saying, you know, here's what not to do in a personal injury case. Look through and you see if you have, you're covering a discrete set of points. And if the article easily becomes, you know, five things not to do in a personal injury case, you know, just run with that as your headline and make some bullet points. And I think that's powerful because it promises people a certain structure. You know, it promises them that you're not going to be meandering on in your article. They know once they click on it that they're going to have these five discrete points that they can skim through if they want. And so it just offers a promise, you know, it's of familiarity, I guess. And I think that's a really, you know, you don't want all of your articles to be lists, I think. I think if you have, you know, too many of those on your blog, you're going to start to look, you know, spammy. You're going to start to look like one of those websites selling horny goat weed or whatever. You know? But, you know, maybe like one out of every four or once a month or something, you know, try to throw in a list when it feels natural. And that can really break up your blog and give people something that they can click on that they know they're going to be able to skim and come away with a few important takeaways.
Yeah, I think, too, you don't want to force anything. I think this is true of a lot of different data points. You say, oh, well, list articles are doing really well, so I want to force some kind of content into a list. And trying to force something that isn't naturally going to lend itself to a list into a list is a terrible idea.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think you take this with a grain of salt and say, oh, well, I don't have to do one every four blog posts. Mm-hmm. Has to be a list. You don't have to do that. But you can when in the situation arises where, like you said, something lends itself to a list. consider making it a list.
Yeah, that's just a good guideline, maybe, or a baseline. But, you know, I guess the takeaway is just don't shy away from making a list. Keep it in the back of your mind. And if the article seems to be naturally structuring itself that way, then go for it, you know. There's no specific quota that you have to hit. But just remember that, you know, lists can be your friend, and mm-hmm. readers love them. So it's a good thing to have on your blog sometimes. Another thing you can do, you know, a simple way to write a headline is just ask a question, you know, which just kind of provokes the reader's interest. So, you know, instead of a headline like, you know, what happens after you're hit by an uninsured driver, just turn that into, do you know what happens if you're hit by an uninsured driver? You know, just that question mark, you know, kind of, you know, raises that question in the reader's mind, makes them want to click through, you know, they want the answer to it, and they know that's something you can provide. So I think that's another way to, you know, take a typical informational headline and kind of turn it on its head, make a little more value there.
I think over time, too, you can develop a sort of resource with these. You know, if you start thinking in the terms of questions and answers, you mm-hmm. can develop that into a dedicated part of your site where you've got these sort of FAQs, and you can kind of compile those and add to those over the lifetime of your website and your blog. And then that'll be a great way for people to just quickly get from, oh, I have a bunch of these questions, and you've handily compiled them onto one page of your site that click through then to very in-depth answers on your blog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On the other hand, I want to provide at least one tip of what you should not do. And I see a lot of this on attorney blogs. I think it's maybe because, you know, attorneys tend to be straightforward and maybe a little academically schooled. But they tend to write what I would call label headlines. So they'll write something like, truck accidents in Virginia, or negligence in a personal injury case. And, you know, it kind of feels like a class paper title, and maybe that's what they naturally tend to do, you know, due to writing so many papers in law school. But it doesn't make for a great headline. It really doesn't tell the reader, you know, what you're going to talk about with this topic. So anytime you find yourself, you know, coming up with a label headline that just says what the topic is, you know, try to turn it into, you know, like we said, a question or something provocative, you know, a promise to the reader of what you're going to tell them. You know, you need to tell them what you have to say about that topic in the headline. It's not just a paper title.
This is advice I give my students in their papers when it comes to their thesis statement. You know, a lot of kids go, oh, this paper is going to be about topic X, right? And that doesn't really tell you anything. And what you'd want to do is say something important about topic X, right? So instead of this paper is going to be about smoking, tell the reader exactly what it is you're going to say about smoking. Smoking is bad for your health because of X, Y, and Z. You know, and that's the same, I think, good advice for a headline. Tell people what it is you're trying to say in the headline.
Mm-hmm. So just a few examples in action of headlines that are pretty successful. I actually pulled these off the blog of a LLM client we have who's got some really compelling results in terms of their Google search engine ranking, especially because, you know, they're not a big firm. Their website wasn't that well established when we started blogging for them, and they've got some amazing results, even some blogs that are appearing on page one of Google so far. And I actually went through the analytics on their website and pulled four of their four top performing blog posts, basically. And I'll just read the headlines for you, and you can, you know, kind of see how we apply these tips when we're writing for clients. So the top performing four are, number one, 7 mistakes that can hurt your child custody case. Number 2, what North Carolina same-sex couples need to know about family law. Number 3, what's yours, what's ours, property division in North Carolina. And number 4, do pre-existing conditions affect personal injury claims? So all those in some way kind of touch on the things we talked about. Number 1 is a list. Number 2 is, you know, what you need to know about family law, you know, kind of creates that sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. Number 4 is a question. And number 3 kind of breaks the rules a little bit because it's a little bit of a label. The second part is property division in North Carolina, which is just, you know, the topic. But I think that first, what's yours, what's ours, you know, kind of addressing the reader kind of lets you break that rule a little bit. And, you know, once you do these things more, you kind of know when to break the rules after a while. But in general, those examples, you know, hew to what we're talking about here.
Well, and a big part of it, too, is that, you know, headlines don't exist in a vacuum. So you're not even on Google. On Google, you're going to see the headline, but you're also going to see the meta description. So, you know, it's not always a bad idea to shy away from maybe a more sort of mysterious title, and maybe one that isn't quite on the nose, to the point right away, because you can kind of supplement that in your meta description by making a more compelling, you know, description of your content that will show up in Google.
Right.
And then that'll entice click-throughs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so don't be afraid to be creative too. I mean, these headline tips, you know, aren't meant to be hard and fast rules. But if you're kind of struggling on where to get started with writing headlines, you know, they can give you a great start. And again, write a lot of them. You know, try to write a headline using each of these tips, and then pick the best out of the five that you write.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so that kind of wraps up, you know, we're going to wrap up our discussion on headline writing, and now we're going to turn to our second topic for the podcast. And this is actually based on some reporting that Dave did for us at LeFleur Marketing. And basically what we wanted to get at with this reporting was, you know, what kind of content, we basically kind of divide our content into two broad categories. Category number one is what we'd call, you know, timely, or sometimes we call it quick response content. But basically the gist of it is, you know, you're reporting on something that's just happened. You know, it's what you think of when you open a newspaper, you know, on page one. It's, you know, it may be if you're an attorney and you focus on bus accidents, you know, here's a bus crash that just happened, the recent one in Chattanooga, you know, happened about a month back at this point, was a major news event. And so as an attorney, you may want to weigh in something like this, you know, with your expert perspective. Or it may be just something that happens in your community, you know, something that happens in your firm. There's a lot of ways, you know, just commenting on any kind of news event or writing on a timely topic that's something that's happening in the news right now. You know, another example is, you know, they can even be trend articles. Like some attorneys wrote blogs about, you know, Pokemon Go and safety or things like that, you know, when people were walking into walls and off cliffs and things like that over the summer, you know. So these are the kind of timely topics that, you know, we see attorneys writing about and that we sometimes pitch to our attorneys. The second type of content is what we would call, this is kind of a journalism term, you may or may not be familiar with it, but we call it evergreen content. And basically what evergreen content is it's a lot of the other kind of topics we've been talking about, like, you know, five things you don't do after an auto accident. You know, those five things are basically going to be, you know, maybe they've changed a little bit over time because you have a cell phone now and you can take pictures, but for the most part, those tips are going to be the same 5 years ago, or 5 years ago. They'll be the same 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much stable content, shelf stable, we'll call it, that you can put up, and it's going to be good, you know, next week, you know, a year from now, whenever. So there's basically kind of a push and pull between those kind of, two types of content. Do you want something that's immediate, that has a sense of urgency, or do you want something that you write it now, and it's timeless, and it's going to generate value for you, you know, a year from now? And so you actually did some reporting on this to find out, you know, which kind of content got more clicks, got more traffic for us, you know, over a pretty broad, you know, spectrum of time. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you found there?
Sure. Yeah, what I did was, it wasn't an in-depth analysis of the type that I'd really feel confident, you know, in writing another blog post about. But I did look at one of our really successful clients' websites, and I looked at our own website. And I sort of was trying to compare those two different types of content and see what they look like in the short term and the long term. So what happens with your evergreen content over the long span of time is that when you first publish it, it may not get a lot of traffic. It gets some traffic, you know, especially if you promote it with other marketing tools like email or social media. And what happens is over time, you see sort of just a big flat line where you get, you know, a certain number of views every couple of days. And it sort of stays stable over that long term. I looked at a year and a half worth of data. What you see with the timely articles is almost the exact opposite. You see this huge spike right after it comes out, right? Because again, it's related to a topic that's very timely and topical. And so you see this huge spike, and then about 5 days later, it trails off into almost nothing. And then over the course of the next year.
The half-life is not that long.
Oh, no, it's And it is really kind of interesting. And you see, it's that same graph with these two different types of content. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe it's kind of interesting. But every single one, every evergreen article has this long shelf life where you get, you know, little blips all along the way with viewership, you know, a year, almost 2 years later. And it's just regular. So you might get five views a week after it pops up and you first publish it, and you'll get five views last week, 2 years later. But with the more timely stuff, you don't see that sort of long-term traffic and long-term return on your investment in that piece of content. You might get a very large spike. There were a few articles on topics that I looked at that got a huge spike of, you know, 120 views the very first and second day that it got published. And then that trailed down to almost zero, you know, a week or two later. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you saw maybe one blip or two blips of one view, you know, down the road. And so you just have to weigh those two things. You have to weigh the idea, well, what's the purpose of this? What do I want to get out of this? Do I really want to be sort of a thought leader and show my relevance right now to this particular issue? And is it related to my practice? You know, I don't think you're going to have a lot of, you know, family attorneys talking about Pokemon Go necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But it may very well make sense for a personal injury attorney to talk about Pokemon Go because people might get into a car wreck or they might get, you know, while they're trying to catch a Charizard on the side of the highway or whatever. So you have to kind of weigh and decide, well, what's the purpose? Why do I want to do this? And what's going to bring me the most return? And I think if you're just starting out with blogging, or if you're not 100% sure or confident in your ability to execute on something that's timely, your evergreen topics are going to give you just, they're going to pay dividends for a very, very long time.
Got it. You know, I think too, I almost feel like you're being a little diplomatic in that, you know, you're kind of being kind to the timely content. I have to admit that, you know, in this report, I was, you know, maybe it's because of my news reporting background, but I was kind of rooting for the timely content to do well a little bit. And it didn't really do that well. Basically, what we found, or what you found, if you know, I read the results correctly, and we talked about this a little too, is that that initial huge spike, I'm doing air quotes here, you can't see it, but the initial huge spike was, in a lot of these cases, not that huge, which is the real problem for the timely content. You know, it seems like that when people are searching, you know, for these news topics, they're just not going to that often end up navigating to an attorney site. You know, maybe if it's really fits in well with your practice area. And there's a lot of reasons, you know, why, you know, the traffic might not be everything. You know, it could be, you know, the timely content could have, like, a high conversion rate, you know, if there's a sense of urgency to it and someone's, you know, been involved and, you know, they're searching for representation for something that just happened, like a bus crash or something like that. You know, the one person that, you know, or, you know, the 10 people that find it, you know, a couple of them could become leads where, you know, it might be a much lower rate for an evergreen type of content. But in general, we didn't see the kind of spike in traffic to the attorney sites from the timely topics that you'd necessarily want to see if that's where you're putting your eggs, right?
Yeah, I would say in a best-case scenario, you're talking about this huge spike that maybe equals, you know, a year's worth of visits to an evergreen topic. But I would say of the articles I looked at, probably 90% of them, for the timely stuff, about 90% of the timely stuff, the spike wasn't, it was maybe 10 or 15 views. And the graph looked the same, you know, scaled down. So it was 15 views with a big spike, and then it was no views after, you know, about a week or so.
Yeah.
But those 15 views, if you had spent, and this is where you really have to weigh things down, because you're writing a timely piece and you're making a good quality piece of content, it's going to take you 2.5-3 hours to write that piece of content, do it well. Take a little more time to get it uploaded and everything else. So you're looking at maybe a 4-hour investment in a piece of timely content. And if you want to write an evergreen piece of content, you might spend a little bit more time in the research process, and you might spend a little bit more time writing because it might be a little bit longer, more comprehensive. And so maybe you're looking at a 5-hour or 6-hour writing period, and then you need a little bit extra time for posting everything. So now you've invested a couple more hours, but you're getting this huge long-term return on your investment. And it really is, I think, kind of a gamble when you're doing the timely stuff. Because even when you do it really well, like you said, it's not the case that people are going to be navigating to an attorney's site about these topical issues unless it's highly relevant.
Yeah, and honestly, some of the highest quality timely pieces that we've done, you know, we haven't seen necessarily the kind of influx of traffic that you'd want to see. Even if you put a lot of work into it, you know, it can be tough to get, you know, traction as an attorney blog on a news event, is I think what we're finding.
Yeah, well, the other part, too, is you got to ask yourself what kind of traffic you're getting from these. So if you're just writing about this high-profile news item, you might just get a lot of, you know, casual people who are interested in the news but who are not interested in, you know, hiring an attorney. So they'll come here because they want to read about the news item, but they're not going to stick around and poke around on your site, and they'll probably not call you because they don't have a need. You're not attracting people who have a need in that specific area on that specific issue. The evergreen topics you write, you get to really poke around and decide your topic. You get to make it very catered to your specific audience that you're targeting. So if you're, you know, a personal injury lawyer, you might be looking for people who have been injured. And so you can choose topics that relate to that very specific audience, and you can write about it, and then you're going to get dividends on that for a very, very long time. Whereas the timely stuff is pretty hit or miss.
Okay. So what's your takeaway for an attorney who's, you know, trying to figure out, you know, the balance of timely and evergreen? You know, should you just go, let's say you have, you know, most attorneys probably have limited time to blog. Either they're doing it or maybe someone on their staff is doing it. But let's say you can only write, you know, a couple articles a month. Do you stick to 100% evergreen content at that point? Or, you know, how would you handle that?
I mean, I would almost always err on the side of evergreen content. I think you're never going to go wrong writing an evergreen piece. Some of them might not be as popular or might not do as well over the long term, but you are going to get long-term value out of them. And then they may also, of course, spike in relevance as other things occur.
Right.
So, you know, if an issue comes up and you say, oh, you know, I'm going to write this evergreen topic about this particular issue, there might be things in the news that then, you know, harken back to that. And so you'll see spikes in traffic. We've seen that with a few evergreen articles, too, where, you know, like tech stuff especially, mm-hmm. where people, oh, there's this is in the news again. And so now the people coming back to this evergreen article that you have.
Right. We referenced Pokemon Go, and, you know, that was kind of the classic, you know, fad that petered out. It was huge, and it dropped off. But a lot of people think that this augmented reality gaming is going to be a big thing for some time to come. Mm-hmm. So maybe instead of writing, you know, on Pokemon Go or whatever the thing that comes out is, you know, you write about, you know, augmented reality gaming and, you know, safety, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then when the next game comes out or the next augmented reality experience comes out, you know, your content's still relevant to that too. So you refocus on, you know, to make the news item into an evergreen topic.
Yeah, exactly. And I think hybrid articles tend to do well too. We've had a couple of those where your first maybe 100 words are a quick commentary on something that's relevant in the news at the moment. But the majority, the bulk of the content, it's almost like you use that timely piece, that timely topic, as a springboard into a longer form article about a much more evergreen issue, like augmented reality. So, you know, using that same example. So you might spend 100 words talking about Pokemon Go is this huge fad right now, and, you know, it's part of a longer, larger trend about augmented reality, and then you spend the majority of your article talking about safety issues related to technology. And so then that timeliness, you might get a few hits on that, but the evergreen stuff is what's going to carry you through and maintain your viewership.
Got it. So when you're allocating your limited resources as an attorney blogger, that's really what you want to focus on. That's where you're going to get the most value. And, you know, if you have something that comes up in the news that's really important to your practice area, you know, by all means, you know, blog on it. But especially if you're, you know, don't have a lot of time, I think it's okay to make those posts a little shorter, that you're probably not going to, you know, unless you really dig into it and, like we said, kind of spin it off into an evergreen type post, you're probably not going to see the type of traction that you want. So, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, reporting all the details of a particular, you know, accident or event or something like that, or piece of legislation. You know, maybe just comment on it and then maybe link to a relevant source for your readers that, you know, visit your blog regularly.
Sure, definitely.
Okay, well, between last week's breakdown on how to write a better blog post and this week's discussion on headlines and content types, I hope we've given you, you know, a really good base to work with when you're kind of, you know, mapping out your blogging strategy. And in the coming weeks, we'll try to focus on some different topics that are maybe a little bit more outside of our wheelhouse. Dave and I are both writers, so we tend to gravitate towards, you know, talking about writing. But we want to talk about, you know, topics in social media and branding and search engine optimization and pay-per-click and, you know, our marketing strategy, all these things. So we'll branch out a little bit in the coming podcast. But for now, we want to thank Dave for coming on again. We always appreciate your expertise and candor and smiling face, Dave,
thanks,
on the podcast.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for being with us.
Cool.
All right. Thanks for tuning in to episode 2 of Legal Marketing Radio. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another information-packed episode of Legal Marketing Tips and Strategy. Again, I'm your host, Stephen Kent. And if you have a question or topic that you want featured on the podcast, just send an email to legalmarketingradio@lafleur.marketing. Thanks for tuning in to Legal Marketing Radio from Lafleur Legal Marketing.